House and Senate will each make some changes to their spreadsheets. And then we have the rest of that article that we didn't have copied that we'll go through. And why don't we start with the Senate since we're pretty short? Yes, we just have two small changes, so we'll just, we aren't going to hand out a new spreadsheet or anything. We're just going to tell you what they are. Just two numbers that we're changing.
I don't get it.
These are involving the grant cuts to the counties. And CSSA grant on line 175 would be going up to 14.5, and the public health grant, which is toward the back of the spreadsheet. Be going down to
1.5.
And the reason for that, excuse me, the reason for that is because we were unaware that the department uses the public health grant to leverage some federal dollars in the area of maternal and child health and some other areas before they send the grants out to the counties. And so we need to make sure we leave them enough money so that we don't lose any of those federal grants.
And Madam Chair, we're going to have John Walls go through this. And as you know, we had an original target on our side of $154 million in cuts in the current biennium. And that's been reduced to 114, and also the tails are now 155, and so what we have is a spreadsheet that shows what we will substitute to get down to those targets.
Right. Do we have those spreadsheets to hand out to the conference?
Mr. Chair? Or Madam Chair, sorry.
Representative Abler.
Is that referencing a target that's given to this committee? Is that what you're just saying?
114 and 155.
All right.
If we can do better, that would be great. But that's at least what we have to do.
And Madam Chair, if I can just ask a question. I know we talked last night about a bill that can get us out of here. How does a number like that get us out of here?
Well, I believe the discussion we had yesterday was that there are other pieces that are being worked on in regard to unallotment and in regard to the potential of not receiving the FMAP monies, and those are not in this conference committee.
All right. Thank you.
We sort of have our hands full with the amount of time we have left, I would say.
Okay. Thank you.
Nobody's got those yet.
So we don't have those? Well, then let's go to the language that we hadn't finished.
Okay.
Ms. Kavanaugh, can you help us remember where we were?
Madam Chair, I believe I left off House Section 38. It should be on page 15 of Article 2.
Okay, so House
Section 38 and Senate Section 23. These sections create new criteria for designation as critical access dental providers. The House requires that a dentist or clinic, well, they've got the three here that you can see, 40% of patient encounters, that nonprofit associated with a program at the University of Minnesota or is a state-operated clinic. And they also then allow the commissioner to, there's additional criteria that the commissioner must consider in designating critical access providers. The Senate has the same criteria as the House in clauses 2 and 3, and they then also include federally qualified health centers and rural health clinics and public health clinics and county owned and operated hospital-based dental clinics. And then the Senate also authorizes the commissioner to designate a dentist, a private dentist or clinic as a critical access provider if the provider is willing to serve public program clients and would significantly increase the access in the service area. And the House and Senate have different effective dates. House Section 39 is a House-only provision, and this would authorize the commissioner to review and not designate or terminate designation as a critical access provider if the dentist or clinic has been subject to a corrective or disciplinary action or post-investigation action by the Board of Dentistry related to fraud or direct patient care. And in paragraph B, they provide other things that they could review to take away a designation. In paragraph C, let's see, allows the commissioner to review post-investigative actions taken by a health plan under contract to provide dental services. Paragraph D sets up an appeals process for the providers. Paragraph E provides the commissioner to make an exception. House Section 40 and Senate Section 24. This is a reduction to basic care services rates. And the House has a reduction that applies to the therapy services that and that takes effect July 1, 2010. And it requires the commissioner to classify these therapies as basic care. The Senate doesn't have this language, but the House reduces the payment rates for basic care services by an additional 1.5%, which is effective July 1, 2001. House Section 41 is House only, and it provides that the fee-for-service payments for physician and professional services and basic care services shall not exceed the applicable Medicare payment rate. And it requires this section to be implemented after any rate adjustment effective July 1, 2010. It requires the rates to be reduced by first reducing or eliminating the provider rate add-ons. House Section 42 is House only. This requires the commissioner to increase fee-for-service payment rates for services provided on or after January 1, 2011 by 7% for physician and professional services and for basic care services. House Section 43 and Senate Article 5, Section 4 makes a change in the new GAMC program that was just passed. And it would specify in both the House and the Senate that the GAMC services from the old GAMC program would apply to the new program until, in the Senate, it would be till June 1st, 2010, and in the House, it would be through to January 1, 2011. House Section 44 is house only. It eliminates provisions in current law that relates to GMC coverage for persons with cost-effective insurance. Section 45 is another house-only provision. And this modifies the Minnesota Care Management financial management criteria by eliminating the requirements that premium subsidies for families and children be reduced and that applicants be required to be uninsured for at least 6 months. Also provides that the remaining financial management measures shall not be implemented before July 1, 2014. And that if the measures are not sufficient to ensure that Minnesota care expenditures remain within the limits of revenue, that the commissioner would be required to notify the legislative chairs and the commission, Legislative Commission on Healthcare Access, and to present recommendations for limiting expenditures. House Section 46 is house only. And this provides a cross-section to a provision in the Minnesota Care Program relating to supplemental hospital coverage, which is on the next page on House Section 47, which requires the commissioner to offer to all Minnesota applicants and all enrollees during open enrollment periods the opportunity to purchase at full cost supplemental hospital coverage to cover inpatient hospital expenses in excess of the $10,000 annual inpatient hospital limit. House Section 48 and Senate Section 25 deal with the copayment changes in the Minnesota Care Program. Both the House and the Senate reduced the copayment for non-emergency visits in a hospital emergency room. And then there are other conforming changes in the House dealing with the supplemental hospital coverage. House Section 49 is house only, and this eliminates Minnesota care coverage for adults without children with income equal to or below 75% of poverty, effective January 1, 2001, or upon implementation of the early expansion for adults without children in MA. House Section 50 is house only. This requires the commissioner to develop and include in with Minnesota Care application and renewal materials a disclosure statement relating to the $10,000 annual inpatient hospital limit. House Section 51 is house only. This eliminates Minnesota coverage for adults without children whose income decreases below 75% of poverty. House Section 52 is house only. The Senate has it in a bill that's in finance, and this would permit a volunteer firefighter or ambulance attendant to purchase Minnesota care coverage and requires them to pay premiums premiums that would be applicable to adults without children, and the benefits that would cover adults without children would apply in this case. House Section 53 is house only, and this reduces the Minnesota care payment rates for physician and professional services by 3%. House Section 54 and Senate Article 5, Section 5, removes a reference to prepaid GAMC in a Minnesota care section, and that's identical except for the differences in dates. House Section 55 is it house only, and it makes a conforming change to their addition to supplemental hospital coverage. House Section 56 and Senate Section 26 is managed care payment withholds. Both the House and the Senate have an additional 3% withhold, and then the Senate establishes a separate withhold relating to reducing emergency room use, and the House does not have that. The next page, there is a Senate Section 27 increases Minnesota care payments to managed care plans. The House has this in House Section 29. The Senate increases the rates to 1.28%, the House 1.3%. House Section 57 and Senate Section 28 clarify that the asthma MA demonstration project that was passed last session must include home environmental assessments and an in-home asthma education, and it's limited to 2 visits per child. And the Senate does include language that specifies that what the payment rate is for the first home visit, and the House doesn't have this. House Section 58 and Senate Section 29 extends the state subsidy for individuals eligible for the COBRA federal subsidy, and there are different dates in the House and the Senate on this. Next page, it's Senate only position, Section 30. This modifies the 2009 appropriation for the COBRA subsidies to allow that money to be carried forward. House Section 59 is House only, and this extends the GAMC fee-for-service transition period in the new GAMC program to December 31st, 2010. Right now, this period is supposed to end May 31st, 2010. And it reduces the payment rates for this period from 37% to 27% of the existing payment rate for this period of the extension. And then this has an effective date of June 1st, 2010 if the commissioner determines that on May 15th that 80% of the GAMC enrollees are not enrolled in a coordinated care delivery system, or that the coordinated care delivery system does not provide access to care in all areas of the state. And if the commissioner does not make this determination, then the section is effective 30 days after federal approval of early expansion or January 1st, 2011, whichever is later. House Section 60 is House only. These are changes to the coordinated care delivery system language that was passed this session. And this would allow the contracting hospitals to negotiate a limit of the numbers of GAMC enrollees that they serve. This is in paragraph A. And paragraph B would provides the coordinated care delivery system contracts that are in effect from June 1st, 2010 to December 31st, 2010. That upon the effective date of the MA expansion for adults without children, whichever is later, provides the coordinated contracts. That they're in effect until December 31st, 2010, or upon the effective date of the MA expansion. Paragraph C in this section allows applicants or recipients to choose among systems that provide services within 25 miles of the individual's community of residence, and limits assignment by the commissioner to systems that meet this distance criterion. Paragraph D requires the hospitals to provide access to cost-effective outpatient services available in their service area, and to contract with federally qualified health centers to the extent practicable. Paragraph F provides that the coordinated care delivery system is not required to pay out-of-area emergency coverage for enrollees. And there's a new paragraph K that clarifies that the payment methods and financial responsibility in cases of recipient transfers from a hospital that is not participating in the delivery system to a hospital that is participating. And it would provide that the transferring hospital remains eligible for the uncompensated care pool funding, and that the hospital participating in the system is not financially liable for initial care provided by the transferring hospital. House Section 61 and Senate Article 5, Section 7 deals with payments to the coordinated care delivery system. And in paragraph A, the House allows adjustments for the number of JMC enrollees in those payments. And the Senate simply is clarifying the language that was intended to ensure that the allocation to the four named hospitals is what was the intent. And both the House and the Senate have language that establishes a schedule for the quarterly payments that span June through August of each year. And they have different effective dates depending that coordinates with the House and the Senate different dates. House Section 62 is House only. And this would allow ambulance services to receive payments through the uncompensated care pool if a call or transfer originates from a location more than 25 miles from the healthcare facility that receives the enrollee. House Section 63 and Senate Article 5, Section 6. This clarifies effective dates for the that are in the GMC bill. And the differences really depend on either the June 1st, 2010 date that the Senate has in the early expansion versus the House effective date for that. House Section 64 is House only, and this is a provision in Minnesota Care that was amended in the GAMC bill that would clarify that the county administration for enrollees who were transitioned into Minnesota Care would remain in the county, and the House then amends that to end this responsibility for the counties. House Section 65 and Senate Article 5, Section 8 is providing effective date of for the retroactive Minnesota Care coverage in GAMC recipients at renewal of June 1st, 2010. That's technical change to the GAMC bill. House Section 66 and Senate Article 5, Section 9. These are repealers, and the differences here, again, are the differences in the effective dates between the House and the Senate. House Section 67 and Senate Article 5, Section 10. This transfers $410,000 in fiscal year 2010. And $412,000 in fiscal year 11 from the special revenue fund balances to the general fund. There are only technical differences between the House and the Senate. Article 5, Section 11 is a Senate-only provision, and this corrects a base adjustment rider in the GAMC bill. House Section 68 and Senate Article 5, Section 12 modifies a rider in the GAMC bill that regarding compulsive gambling administrative funds. House Section 69 is in Senate Section 18, Subdivision 5, and this is very similar language, and it would allow the Commissioner of Human Services to establish a pilot program in Hennepin in Ramsey County to test alternative and innovative integrated health care delivery networks. House Section 70 is a House only, and this requires all costs related to the early expansion of MA eligibility to include adults without children to be paid from the Health Care Access Fund. House Section 73 appropriates fiscal savings from the cap in an earlier section on the abortion services. And it appropriates these savings fiscal year 11 to the Mother's First program and 12 and 13 to Children and Economic Assistance Grants. And on the Senate side, Section 31, Senate only, this would require the commissioner to take into account anticipated savings from expanding MA coverage to services provided in a licensed birth center when negotiating the managed care contracts. Section 32 of the Senate requires the department to ensure that contracts for non-emergency medical transportation services level of need determinations require the contractor to have no financial interest in the actual provision of the services. Senate Section 33, Senate only, requires the commissioner to seek a state plan amendment or federal waiver as necessary to receive the federal funds for the early expansion of the adults without children. Senate Section 34 requires an annual report from DHS on the estimated room under the hospital upper payment limit for the upcoming federal fiscal year, and two, the amount of the MA inpatient hospital rate increase that would raise MA spending to the upper payment level, and three, the amount of a surcharge increase that would be needed to generate the state share for the possible increase. Section 35 is a reviser instruction to remove references to the GAMC program and statutes and rule. That's Senate only. And then the House, Section 74, and the Senate, Section 36. These are repealers, and again, the differences really have to do with the differences in the effective dates for when that program is repealed. And that's it.
We do have one identical.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language Article 5, Section 12, that's on page 27 of the side-by-side.
This is identical language. Is there any discussion?
Are we on, Madam Chair?
It's on page 27.
Of the R27?
Yeah, of the article, side-by-side.
Madam Chair.
Fender Pretner Sullivan.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering if I could have some time to ask some questions about the GAMC program and the changes that are recommended by the House and as it relates to the program that was introduced yesterday.
Okay. It could be yours.
Well, we might be able to do that, but I don't think we'll be able to do that tonight.
Okay.
I try, but it always out that way.
Okay. Right now we have a motion before us, so.
Madam Chair. I'm wondering if my vote would depend on the answers I could get to some of those questions. So.
This is regarding compulsive gambling. It's an identical provision.
Article 5, Section 9.
This is on the on the Senate side.
Article 2.
Well, Article 2.
Article 2 in the House. Article 1 in the Senate. Health care.
Tonight we're only doing, today we've only been doing identical or nearly identical provisions.
Oh, you're going to find it in Article 2, and the Senate has it in Article 5, Section 2 of the summary on page 27.
The side-by-side is in House Article 2.
R69 on this language.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, then those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. And then I'm wondering if maybe by tomorrow the staff could try to find out really what the differences are in House Section 69 and Senate Section 18, Subdivision 5. So that we could have some recommendations, if it's only technical, as to what would be a recommendation to be adopted.
The vision is nearly identical.
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Article 2, Section 68.
While we're still in that section, or who is that? You're the gavel. There's a lot of provider rate adjustments throughout this section, and I don't know what the will of the chairs, the committee is going to be about adopting some of those. But it might be interesting to have some way to compare. It seems like there's kind of a hodgepodge of 7% here, just a whole variety of different rates and different kinds of groups. And I have an impression we'll be proceeding through some of those. And as we get to that part, it would be interesting to see how each body has treated those and just some kind of comparative thing. And my concern about that, Madam Chair, is as we put another rate cut on some of these providers, I fear we'll have some access issues. They won't go out of business, but they'll just not be desirous of taking our clients. So that's my concern. But it'll be good to see at some point the comparison for future work. Thank you.
It might be easier to do that after we see the House spreadsheet.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So I think we're ready to do the spreadsheet. We've got copies now of the House.
Madam Chair, I believe you should all have a copy of the spreadsheet. I'm just going to go over on the House side the shaded areas which represent a change to the previous House position. On the bottom of page 1, line 76, the House includes some reductions to adult mental health. These had been in the bill previous to the floor but were amended out on the House floor. Moving on to page 2, on line 100, the House had a provision to extend a CD provider rate reduction in the language. That was unintentional. I believe in a spreadsheet that may have been passed out earlier that was included, the House position currently would be that language is not intended to be included. On line 104, there's the addition of a children's mental health budget reduction for child case management grants. And on line 110, there are the additions of some other mental health grant reductions for capacity incorrectly spelled school-based mental health grants, adult mental health integrated fund reduction, adult mental health evidence-based practice grants, adult mental health cultural specific treatment, and regional treatment alternative grants. Madam Chair, moving on to page 3. The House had a floor amendment for prohibiting EBT card use for alcohol, tobacco, and lottery purchases. This had a somewhat significant cost, and it's the current House position that no longer be reflected as an item on the House side. On line 190, reducing CCSA grants, the House adds back in a $9.9 million annual reduction. Moving on to page 6, a floor amendment added rate increases for continuing care, and those have been removed from the current House position on line 347.
Which? 207?
Mr. Chair, that would be line 347 on page 6.
Oh, okay.
Are there any before that one?
Madam Chair, the previous change would have been on line 190, previously mentioned, reducing CCSA grants. Moving on to page 7. The House had a provision for a $3.6 million annual pot of money to be used to supplement children's DRG rates. Those have been removed from the House position.
Before we go on, if I could just interrupt you for a minute to ask a question, if you don't mind. I notice that you still have tax revenues for FOCs and tax havens, and that's not shaded. Is that still in the bill?
Madam Chair, yes, that's still in currently in the House position. Madam Chair, continuing on page 8, line 512, inpatient hospital rateable reduction. There was a floor amendment that I believe reduced that to 4.5%, and the current House position would raise that rateable reduction to 6%.
Can you just, I'm having trouble catching up to you now. Where are you?
Madam Chair, that would be on page 8, line 513. Madam Chair,
what we're seeing is zeros here, so what you just said doesn't seem to track with what the...
Page 8, line 512, Madam Chair. Same copy. And Madam Chair, that position, the numbers reflected in 2011 are from an earlier effective date that applies to rate changes to HMOs. The rates on fee-for-service would begin on July 1 of calendar year 2011. Moving on to...
At some point, we're going to need that broken out if we're going to understand it.
Madam Chair, on page 9, line 531, the House position on MA early expansion for adults without children below 75% of federal poverty changes from a healthcare access fund funded program to general fund as a funding source. Moving on to page 10, on line 620, I was informed that we were carrying language for delaying essential community services grants and not carrying a cost. This just clarifies the intent that we, that language on the House position is intended to be left out at this time. Moving to the bottom of page 10, line 649, HMO surcharges and rate increases. The rate increase to HMOs in 2012 and 13 of 1.3% has been removed. Madam Chair, if we could just refer back to the first page. You'll see that the House net effect to the general fund on line 3 for the 10-11 biennium is a savings of $115 million. The tails of 12 and 13 are $155 million. The healthcare access fund balance at the end of 12 and 13 has a positive balance of $9.84 million. And that concludes the House changes.
Are there any questions? All right. Well, then, is there any other business before the conference committee tonight?
So the difference between the sections? So the difference in those two sections? The Ramsey County pilot program?
We don't need to do that tonight.
Oh, you're right. I mean,
well, I guess if you're ready to tell us, we might as well be ready to hear it.
Hey, there is no difference. The only difference is we don't, we have it uncodified, so we use Minnesota statute in this, and they don't. So there is no difference. They're identical.
They're identical. It's just where they would be in the statutes.
I'm sorry, I don't.
That's the difference is because we didn't.
Codified it.
So that's, yeah, there is no difference. The language is the same.
What would you recommend?
House language.
Speak into the mic.
You could speak in your microphone.
Sorry. House language, I would. Yeah. Would it necessarily need to be codified?
Well, I think the project is expected to last more than one biennium.
Then we codify it. We'll put it in codified language.
That's fine. Codify it.
Well, we'd have, yeah, we'd have to pull it. We'd probably want it a separate. So we take the house language and then we'll codify it.
Do you want to make that motion?
Madam Chair, I would make that motion that we accept the house language in that section and put it in a codified law.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Anything else?
Madam Chair, do you want to go through the Ryder article tonight?
No.
Very hush.
Well, we don't have a lot of time, and it just seems to me the most productive thing that we could do at the moment is not to go through the Ryder section, but to get some other work done.
Just asking.
I understand. You know, because we have so little time to do this, normally we would do that, so that's a reasonable question to ask, but I just think we have so little time that I think we need to kind of fast forward this movie a little bit here and skip over to that, and I think when we get other things figured out, that'll fall into place a lot better.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Since you're fast-forwarding, I'll just ask a Sunday question. There's some assumptions in both bills about what the governor will and will not accept. I presume that as we work toward a bill that will be signed, that some of those items will not be in the final product. Would it help if, you know, do you have access to the governor? Are they talking to you to have a dialogue about that just to save a little bit of time?
No, we haven't had any discussion about the bill. I guess I thought it might be helpful to wait until we actually saw where the House spreadsheet was for their starting position. Although I'm, now that we've seen it, I'm not sure it's as helpful as I hoped it would be. Representative Hosh?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a question. Mr. Walls stated that with the House position, there's a $9.8 million surplus in the Health Care Access Fund. Do we know where the Senate position is on that right now?
Yes, we have that on our spreadsheet.
The balance of the Health Care Access Fund? Could you? Is that the $409 million?
Madam Chair and Representative Haas, we do not have the actual ending balance of the Health Care Access Fund on our side of the spreadsheet. It is about $103,000 at the end of the next biennium.
$103,000?
Sorry.
Can you speak louder?
$103,000. My microphone apparently isn't working.
Are there any other questions? Yes.
Madam Chair, I'm assuming that this bill is the same as all the other bills, and Poga Miller set a deadline for us to be done with this by midnight on Sunday. Is that correct?
That's correct. Why, I just kind of suggested we skip a step here and see if we can get some other work done and then come back to that when it'll be a lot clearer. You know, usually the riders have to do with what's in the money part of the bill, so maybe we could. I think what would be helpful for us for tomorrow is if the House staff could give us the sections of the bill on their side that have been removed based on their spreadsheet decisions so that we could just skip over those, cross those off so we aren't confused about whether we're going to be discussing those or not.
Madam Chair, if I can just prevail upon you one more time. Just in my dialogues in the side hallways and with some of Mr. LeClaire and other people, and reading the letter that came out, to me it seemed kind of clear, and it wasn't cryptic at all on some of the elements. Maybe some were unclear. But short of a global agreement changing some of those elements with the House, Senate, and Governor all agreeing, do you think, how can we get done by Sunday with some things that are so important to you, especially and to the House, at least as a body, going forward with that, thinking it's going to somehow be okay? I mean, I don't think you're given, my point is I don't think you've been given a reasonable deadline based upon the state of negotiations with the things you want to do. And some things you would like to do aren't going to be involved.
I might agree with you, but that doesn't mean I get to change it.
I'll just keep asking. I'm trying to ask it politely. And
I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Ms. White?
Madam Chair, there are some sections we could resolve based on a conference committee that was today. We can get rid of four sections.
Okay. Let's find them and do it.
Children and Families. Article.
Which article?
Children and Families. House Article 4. Senate Article 3. In the conference committee today on Senate File 2505, they adopted House only sections 1 and 2. And section 14, House section 14 and 15. One is factors, 1 and 2 relate to child care eligibility or defers a determination of eligibility.
1 and 2 and 14 and 15?
Yes.
So, Madam Chair, I would move that we delete section 1 from the bill.
Was that in this?
Let me change that. The motion is to remove section 1 and 2.
We had a conference on
that. And
I wasn't involved
in 14.
Yeah,
the red pen.
And 14?
14 and 15.
No, 14 and 15.
We passed it. Is that in this?
Is there any discussion of that motion?
We took it out.
Madam Chair? I want to. Do I have this right? Is it we're talking about Article 5, Section 1 and 2 in the.
No, this is Article 4, House Article 4.
Okay.
And it's Sections 1, 2, 14, and 50. And these were included in a conference committee that was an outlier bill dealing with quality rating systems for child care. And this. Was a bill that was not spending general fund money, was spending federal grant money. So it's not integral to our bill. Any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. White.
And then, Madam Chair, there's one more section in the miscellaneous article. House Article 5, Senate Article 6. If you go to the staff side-by-side summary, go to the very end, page 20. And House only Section 41 relates to the restructuring of the CD formula. We adopted all those sections previously. And DHS indicated that this section also needed to be adopted related to the effective dates for those CD provisions.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the House language Article 5, Section 41.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Anything else?
Article 5, the same miscellaneous, I believe the House, Section 1, and then
Senator Scheid's bill was passed. I don't know if this is the same. This is the same.
Bill.
Get it out of here.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would move in Article 5 that we delete Section 1.
Further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, because professional services, except not just physicians, but other groups.
But the town job was a
reason. Oh, I think I know there was confusion about other things, too.
Yeah.
Okay, we will conclude the conference committee for this evening, and tomorrow, Representative Huntley will have the gavel, and we will reconvene at 10 a.m. That the meeting is adjourned.
Pretty good there, Cam. Go. Perfect. 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, me. Oh. Me thinks I'm.